Thank you, Pastor Sherry. Well, it's good to be home. Oh, man. Seattle's a cool town, but there's no place like home. My goodness. Well, it is. Last Sunday, I flew out, and I was at Foursquare Convention last week. And last Sunday, it was a really great day. JJ and I had been texting. She said, "We're almost to the hotel. We're almost there." And I said, "I'm down in the lobby." And as soon as she pulled around the corner, it was like, oh, that's so much better. Because she had gone out for Sherry's graduation from Life and then was there in Southern California a few extra weeks helping out her mom and dad with some stuff from the house. As a matter of fact, one day we had FaceTimed each other, and she said, "Look what I'm doing." And she kind of did this thing, kind of did a 360 and goes all the way around. And there was all this stuff that was in the garage, in the attic, and I remembered the message from a few weeks ago, and my first thought was, better you than me. And then I thought, wait, I can't say that. I just preached better you and me, but I'm not there to help. And so I'm glad that my wife is home with me, because it was kind of lonely with just me and Jackson and Gus. And yeah, Casey's home too. Well, you were gone out there, so whatever. Whatever. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Jackson, if you're watching, please get home. Oh, goodness. Yeah, Shay, yeah, you too. So, well, turn in your Bible with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. We better get into the word before I get into lots of trouble. Who knows? I might already be there and not know it. Galatians chapter 5. We've been in a series called The Nine. We're looking at the nine fruit of the Spirit. Last week, I was watching the message from about 35,000 feet in the air. I was going to say 35,000 miles. I'd be halfway to the moon if that was the case. I was watching the message last week. Pastor Greg and Jason, thank you so much for leading in worship and bringing the word. It was a good word. Worship was awesome last week. And it's good to know that the wonders of technology can keep us close together. So Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to begin by reading where we've been at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Lord, we pray as we get into your word today, we pray that the word would come alive and come off of the pages and into our heart. Holy Spirit, would you breathe on the words that we are reading today? Let them be life to us. And as we leave today, let our lives be changed and transformed in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Today we're talking about the fruit of goodness. Would you do that with me? Say goodness.
Goodness.
Now, it's interesting, looking at the word goodness, the word in the Greek, here we go, here's our Greek lesson for the day, is agathosune, there we go, I listened to it, I even clicked the little button, I even took Greek in Bible college, it's been a long time since I've really dove into it, agathosune, and it's speaks not only of a disposition, because oftentimes we think of goodness being just a disposition. Oh, he's a nice person. He's a good person. She's a nice lady. She's a good person. But it's not only a disposition, but this fruit of goodness speaks of the activity that one performs. So it's not just our disposition, but it's the activity that one performs. See, the Holy Spirit helps us to have a disposition that is beneficial to ourselves and to others. And also what that disposition looks like, it's how it's lived out. It's a great benefit to ourselves and to others. That's what the Holy Spirit is working inside of our lives. It's not just that we're good, but there's a benefit to it. There's a benefit to the goodness. Does that make sense? So it's not just that we're good for the sake of being good, but it's that the Holy Spirit is at work inside of us with this fruit of goodness. Now, the Word of God says that God is good. And there's a phrase that you may have heard, you may not have heard it, but I remember growing up in the 90s and 80s and 90s, I used to hear people say, "God is good." And then all the time,
God is good.
Good job. Way to take that into the new millennium. Because God is good all the time. And because God is good, guess who that means should be good as well? Us. Because God is good, we should be good. Because the Bible says God is holy, and he tells us, be holy because I am holy. And so that goodness that God is, that he imparts to us, the goodness is empowered by the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And because God is good, we can be good, and the things that we will do will be good things. So I'm going to go and rifle through this pretty quickly. Before we get into the word, I just want to mention as well, with summer being here, speaking of good things, serving in kids ministry is a good thing. It's a good thing. Serving in youth ministry, being plugged in, helping out, being an usher, worship team, what have you. But if I could just mention, would you take a minute, maybe sometime throughout this week, and pray, how can I get involved? We need some help in kids ministry. We know people are going on vacation, and I was talking to Becky this morning, and she said, can you help me out, Pastor? I said, I sure can. Well, I'll talk about that. So serving in kids ministry is a good thing. You see what I did there? So if you'd like to serve in kids ministry, we're not going to throw you in the nursery with a bunch of crying babies and not train you. We want to make sure that you're trained to help and teach kids well. So you can talk to Becky Mogi. She's down. Oh, she's right there. There you are. I'm like, she's down teaching. No, she's right here. She's right there. So you can talk to Becky right after service today and help do some good at Laconia Four Square Church. Amen? Amen. So here we go. We're going to look briefly at six components of goodness. So if you got your pens and papers and note-taking utensils ready, here we go. So the first thing I want to talk about the standard of goodness. The standard of goodness. There's a very famous and interesting passage in Luke chapter 18 where Jesus has this interaction with, the Bible calls him, a rich young ruler. So it's interesting to note, he's not just a young ruler, but the Bible makes note and says, this guy's rich. This guy's got some possessions. And Jesus comes to him, or he comes to Jesus, and he calls him good teacher. Some versions say good master. And Jesus' reply to him is the reply that has always, that really gets our attention. Here's what he says. Jesus says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. I think that's interesting that Jesus would say, there's no one good except for God. Kind of interesting, isn't it? See, we can talk about good people and good things in terms of human standards and our expectations for us as people, but when it really comes down to it, who sets the ultimate standard and expectations for goodness except for God? God is the one who sets the ultimate standard and expectations for goodness. God is the one who is the standard setter. Tell your neighbor, God's the standard setter for goodness. God is the one who sets the ultimate standard for goodness. See, we live in a world where people call evil good and people call good evil. It happens all the time, doesn't it? We can't watch a news broadcast, it seems like, where we don't hear something, where something that was evil 10, 15, 20, 30 or so years ago, that people are saying, oh, this is good. You need to embrace this. You need to do this. And I need to go, wait a minute. The standard is right here. And if it doesn't line up with this standard, I'm sorry, it's not good. Because God is a good God, and everything that God does is good. And there's a reason for what God is doing and what God says is good. And we might not know what all the reasons are, but the bottom line is we need to trust God because he knows better than every single one of us on our best days. See, Jesus was challenging the rich young ruler to consider the truth that he was God come in the flesh, and that looking at God's holiness and the gift of his son would end the thinking that there is anything that anybody could do to earn salvation. We can't earn salvation, can we? There's no way to buy our way into heaven. The only way to get into God's good graces, as it were, is to say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life and change me. Come into my life. See, 3 John 11 says that the one who does good is of God. So if you're doing good things, 3 John 3:11 says, okay, you know God. It goes on to say that if you do evil things, then you don't know God. I don't want to do evil things. I want to do good things because if I do good things, then the Bible says that I'm of God. See, lasting goodness can only flow out of a life that is right with God and yielded to him. I'm going to say that again. Lasting goodness, not temporary, not just flash in the pan goodness, but lasting goodness can only flow out of a life that is right with God and yielded to Him. I want my life to be right with God. I want every area of my life to be yielded to Him. Is every area of my life yielded to Him? Probably not as much as it should be. I heard Pastor JJ share a little while ago for communion. It's not that we have to nail things to the cross, that we have to nail our life to the cross. We get to nail our life to the cross. So that's the standard of goodness. Number two, let's talk about a harvest of goodness. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10 reads this way. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap." This is called the law of the harvest. Whatever you plant, you're going to reap. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Next slide. "And let us not grow weary of doing what? And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we might reap." Okay, I just want to make sure we all got that. "For in due season," everybody say due season. "I will reap if I do not give up." Let me just pause for just a moment here. Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't give up. "For if we do not give up, so then as we have opportunity, which should be hopefully all the time, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith," especially to our brothers and sisters. See, we must keep sowing to the Spirit, which means we must keep seeking God and letting the fruit of goodness as well as the rest of the fruit of the Spirit grow and be developed in us and flow through us by the Holy Spirit. See, the Word gives us great promises. Go ahead and go back to the last slide, please. Take a look at this. It says, "Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, that we shall also reap." Now, oftentimes, I know growing up as a young guy, I'd look at that passage, and there was almost a sense of ominousness that comes with this passage. And every time I've heard that message preached, it's like, hey, you're going to reap what you sow. If you plant sin, you're going to reap sin. If you plant this, you're going to... And there's always been kind of this ominous thing, but it's not so much that. It's just stating a fact. Whatever you plant, you're going to reap. If you plant beans, you get... If you plant poppies, you get, if you plant money, you get, no, you get wet, dirty money. But the Bible says, don't be deceived. We can't, it's okay. It's okay. He'll just kind of wink at that. God knows what's, no. God says, if you plant it, you're going to reap it. But if I take time and it's time to worship the Lord, if I plant worshiping the Lord, I'm going to reap a wonderful time in God's presence. That's a pretty quick harvest. This morning as we were worshiping the Lord, I was up playing the keyboard, and I just found myself thinking, Lord, thank you so much that I get to go to a church where I get to worship you with people who love worshiping you. Y'all are just as crazy as me, and I love it. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So let's sow the fruit of goodness, amen? Because if you sow goodness, then guess what? We reap goodness. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. If you plant to your flesh, you're going to reap death, basically. But to the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And don't grow weary of doing good. I want to camp here for just a minute. Have you ever done the right thing and you just find yourself getting to the point, you say, Lord, I keep doing the right thing and I keep doing the right thing and I keep doing the right thing and I feel like all I get is bupkis. And you're like, Lord, what's up with that? What's happening? Lord, I'm doing all the right things. I'm saying all the right prayers. I'm calling out to you, but I feel like heaven is not responding. Well, the encouragement is don't grow weary. In our own self, it's easy to get weary sometimes, isn't it? I know when JJ and I got home Friday night from Seattle, we were weary. We were tired. It'd been a long week. It'd been nice to be at convention. And then yesterday, I had the honor to do, you may or may not know Donna Remillard. Her mother, Trudy, passed away last Sunday. She's been down in Manchester for quite some time. And I was talking to Donna on Friday right before we got on the airplane. And she was trying to figure out, you know, who's going to do the service. And we've got the place and we got the people. And then there's just not a pastor to do the funeral. And I said, I'll be home. I'll do it. And she said, oh, Pastor, thank you so much. And she started crying. And we took a minute. We prayed. And it was a wonderful day yesterday, remembering her mother's life. And was I weary? Yeah, I was a little weary. But you know what? The Bible says don't grow weary of doing good. I didn't do it just because it's my job as a pastor to be 24/7, because that's kind of just goes without saying, right? I love doing what God's called me to do. Why? Because I love the people that God's called me to serve. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If you continue and you keep on and you keep on, it's nothing in our own strength. See, what happens is we go, God, I've been trying this, I've been doing this, and I want to submit this question. And I'll preach it to me here, so let me kind of come here to me, because I don't want you to. Tim, how many times have you tried to do it in your own strength and haven't relied on the strength of the Lord? Because I've done that before. And honestly, I would probably do it again. I don't want to, but I want to be more like Jesus. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. See, the fruit of goodness helps us to stay faithful. So then, as we have opportunity, which is basically the Apostle Paul is saying, so whenever you have a chance, which is all the time, as we have opportunity, do good to everybody. Do good to everybody. That's what the fruit of goodness works in our life. Even to the people that you feel like don't deserve your goodness because they snubbed you, because of they rubbed you the wrong way, because they said, what did they mean by that? I don't know. Maybe they're just having a bad day and they just need your goodness regardless of what you're hearing them saying. As we have opportunity, as long as we have breath in our lungs, let's just do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We should be the easiest people to get along with. A harvest of goodness. See, God's goodness goes beyond what is legally right in our flesh. It goes the extra mile. And it gives us what is needed and what will benefit, there it is again, what will benefit, build up, and bless others. That's what his goodness does in our life, that harvest of goodness. Number three, our good God does good things for his people. Our good God does good things for his people. Because that's just how good he is. And that's just how much he loves us. Besides describing the character of God, goodness describes his acts on behalf of his people, their benefits of his salvation. Now look at this. At the end of Psalm chapter 23, verse 6, we'll have it up on the screen. It says this. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy, these are acts of God. This is the fruit of goodness that's at work in our life because our good God does good things for his people. These are benefits of his salvation. Turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. I want to read a couple passages here from this awesome passage of Scripture. Psalm chapter 103. I can quote most of it, but I want to make sure I get it all right. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 5. Psalm chapter 103, verses 1 through 5. This is from the New King James Version. It reads this way. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. How much? All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. His what? His God has benefits for you. Let me say that again. God has benefits for you. They're better than a 401k. They're better than a 401b. They're better than buying gold, buying silver. It's good. Do all that. I've got a retirement thing that's got a little bit of money in it. But God says that he has benefits for us. Here we go. What are some of his benefits? Look at this. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, but wait, there's more, who crowns your love, you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are some pretty good benefits, aren't they? That is what the goodness of God wants to work in his life. Those are benefits of salvation. See, our good God does good things for his people. See, but as wonderful as this is, as great as these promises are, we've got to remember this. God's not a heavenly slot machine. It's not that, okay, God, I'm going to be good so you can be good to me. I'm going to put my money in the plate so you can bless me with more. I'm not going to pull and come on, 777, cherry, cherry, cherry. Come on, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Father, Son. It's not that we're pulling a heavenly slot machine, but God is good to us just because he loves us. See, we bless the Lord, Psalm 103, even if none of these benefits were in here from verses 3 to 5 that we just looked at, the fact would remain, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I'm just going to bless him because he's worthy to be blessed. I'm just going to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. And the fact that God says, okay, because you're going to do that, so here's what I'm going to do for you. Here are the benefits of my goodness, the fruit of my spirit at work in your life. He forgives our iniquities. I know I read it, but I want to read it again. He forgives your iniquities because somebody needs to hear it right now. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Some of you might be sitting here today and say, you know, I'd like my youth to be renewed like the eagles. Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. As you bless the Lord, he will do that. It's like God has this divine clock reversal mechanism that I don't know how it works. I remember people have asked me over the years, they said, Tim, how do you just have so much energy, like all the time? It's because I just love to worship God. I love to live for him. And Psalm 103 is plain and simple. He says, if I worship him, if I bless the Lord, he renews my youth. I saw somebody this past week in Seattle, and I told them how old I am, and they said, no way. And I said, God bless you. Now you're probably wondering how old I am. I'm going to be 49 in a couple months, which does not feel possible because I'm not old enough to be 48. But God wants to renew our youth. I actually have a couple of gray hairs. I get them more like, you know, anyway. Some of you saw some gray this winter when I had my beard. Our God does good things. Our good God does good things for his people. Number four, the fruit of goodness, watch this, helps us do good things. Not only does our good God do good things for us, but our good God, through the fruit of goodness, helps us do good things. Chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians give specific ways that goodness is to be expressed in our lives. Here's some of them. Beginning in 4:25, speaking truthfully. Turn over there with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, at chapter 4, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's what the fruit of goodness helps us do. Helps us speak truth with our neighbors, with our friends, with people that we come in contact with. For we are members of one another. Then verse 26 says, be angry and don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It says you can be angry, but don't sin in your anger. Because how many know there's things that make me angry. There's things that I hear about on the news that I just go, are you kidding me? I get emails from other pastors here in New Hampshire, things that are crossing our governor's desk. And I just go, really? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And it angers me. But the Bible says in that anger, don't sin. I don't cross over and I don't go, that stupid governor, what's he thinking? What do? I pray for him. God continue to put wise people in front of him that'll say, if you sign this, there's potential ramifications. Here's some wise counsel. Here's some wise advice. When JJ and I lived in California, you know, that about says it all right there. We had a really good prayer life praying for our government. praying for the governor, for the lieutenant governor, praying for our city. Oh, dear Lord. But see, the Bible says it's okay. Be angry, but don't sin in your anger, right? See, our good God does good things for his people, and the fruit of goodness helps us do good things. See, look at this here. It says, speak truthfully. Don't sin in our anger. Don't steal, but do something useful, is what verse 28 talks about. See, the word useful translates the Greek word. It's a form of the word that we looked at earlier, agathos, which means good. So we are not to do hurtful, harmful things, but helpful, beneficial. There it is again, because it's an outflow of what's happening on the inside. Helpful, beneficial, useful things, good things. Then we continue in verse 29. It says, we are to build up one another with our conversation, how we talk. Build up one another. You ever walk away from somebody and you just feel better after talking to them? You just feel encouraged. I know whenever I walk away from Bob Cassoni, he comes up and he's about, 6 foot whatever, and it's kind of hard to not see him coming. But I know that when I walk away, I'm going to feel encouraged. I know that when I walk away, he's going to tell me he loves me. Pastor, how can I pray for you? He's going to give me a hug. Did I do that? Did I get it? Am I getting close? I'm getting there. But you know how you just walk away from some people and you're just like, I just feel better walking away from them. See, that's what the word's talking about. The fruit of goodness helps us do good things. That's the fruit of the Spirit that's at work in our lives. And the Word of God tells us to build each other up. See, there's a problem if we walk away from each other and we feel torn down. There's something that's not sitting right if we walk away from people and we're like, oh, I just feel like I just got worked. And I feel worse because I just got worked. But the Bible says build each other up with our conversation, how we talk. We must get rid of all bitterness and be kind, compassionate, forgiving, imitators of God and Christ, living lives of love. In this way, we align ourselves with the fruit of goodness and we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit. Number 5. Goodness that opens the door for a good life. How many want a good life? I want a good, I'll put both my hands up. I want a good life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 presents a covenant choice. And it says this. This is God speaking to his people. He said, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. God says, I'm giving you a choice. You can choose life and prosperity or death and destruction. And then the next passage goes on to say, choose life. God wants us to choose life, but he knows that he built us with the ability to choose. And even though God says, I want to bless you, there's still people that say, I'm good. I got this. I'm good. I can get it figured out. See, the word prosperity that's used here in the New International Version that I just quoted from a minute ago, where God says he sets life and prosperity, is the word for good or goodness. God says, I'm setting life and goodness before you. God wants us to have a good life. Now, I'm not trying to, preach name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, groan it and own it. But God says that I want you to have a good life. Our world is going to give us challenges, right? Jesus said in the book of John, in this world you will have trouble. We read it a few weeks ago, but he says, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Remember we talked about patience a few weeks ago, that other fruit of the Spirit that he's working in our life? He wants us to have a good life, but there's things that we will face that will shape us and define us, and God's goodness should be one of them. His goodness helps us to live a good life. God says, choose life, choose goodness. See, again, we see God's ultimate beneficial purpose of saving life and providing a new quality of life and a well-being that comes from a result of fellowship with him. How do we have a good life? It's not just about having money in the bank and a boat on the lake and a car in the driveway that runs. Although those are all wonderful things. But God says, hey, I want there to be a closeness that you and I have that when God opens his mouth, we hear and we go, oh, God, thank you for speaking to me today. Well, what do I do in the seasons where I feel like I'm praying and I'm not hearing? You keep praying and you keep saying, God, thank you that you are speaking to me today. Open up my ears that I'll hear you speak to me today. might mean we need to do some knuckling down and pray a little bit more and pray a little bit more. Because we just read a passage a few minutes ago that says, don't grow weary in doing good. Prayer is a good thing. Amen? God wants to speak to his people, and he wants to do good things for us so we can do good things for him. Goodness, the fruit of goodness, opens the door for a good life. John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11 say this. Oftentimes we just read verse 10 and we stop right there, but I want to read verse 11 too. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and help me out, destroy, right? That's what the thief's mission statement is. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then he goes on to say this in verse 11. Watch this. Oftentimes we don't read this next passage because we stop at verse 10 and go, woohoo, that's good. Abundant life. But Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. He didn't just say, I'm the shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And then he goes on to say this, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid his life down for us so we could live with the quality of life that's called abundant life because of the goodness, the fruit of goodness that is at work in our lives. Are you seeing that? See, God wants us to have a good life, an abundant life, and that's what John 10:10 talks about. Let's go and look at this last one, number 6. The fruit of goodness. Goodness that saves nations. I want to look at one of my favorite Bible stories of all time. In Genesis chapter 50, we're not going to read the whole thing because it would take entirely too long, but it's awesome. It's a great passage. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, he said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring about his present result, to preserve many people alive. See, Joseph had a bunch of jealous older brothers, didn't he? Oh, Joseph the dreamer, what are you dreaming today, Joe? And they got tired of Joseph, didn't they? And they said, finally, we're done. We have had it up to here with you and your bow down and the sun and the moon and us, and ain't happening, Joe. Bye. And what do? They throw him in a pit and they sell him into slavery. And Joseph, I could imagine, you ever try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes? And you think, man, what in the world did I ever do to deserve this? I'm just a brother. God's just giving me dreams, and I'm just telling him what people are telling me. And what do I get? Nothing. I get thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. And all the stuff that happens to him, God raises him up to be in charge of Potiphar's house. And then his wife accuses him of something that he didn't do. Back in prison he goes. And then he's in prison, and then he sees his chance out. And he says, hey, when you go back before Pharaoh, tell him I'm down here still. Remember Joe, he's down there, and they forget about him. And then Pharaoh has a dream, and then God elevates him again. And the rest of the story, Joseph becomes number two in command of all of Egypt. And he doesn't just save Egypt because God gives him a plan. He saves the entire nation of Israel. See, the fruit of goodness will save nations. And Joseph recognized that. He said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good, that many people would be saved. If the devil would have known what he was doing when he crucified Jesus on the cross, he would have found another way. Right? But here we are today. Thank you, Jesus, because goodness saves nations. See, God's good purpose in every situation is ultimately to save lives. God's good purpose in every situation is ultimately to save lives. God wants to save lives. Joseph suffered some very hurtful things, but they turned out to be great benefit. There it is again. Goodness, it's not just our demeanor. It's an activity. It produces a benefit. There's a benefit to him and for many others. They fulfilled the purpose of God, God's redemptive purpose. Because if Joseph wouldn't have been there, Egypt would have been done. Israel would have been done. The Middle East would look very different in that time frame because of the severe drought that had happened. See, as we come to our time of conclusion today, Jason, go ahead and come on up. I want to bring us back to these takeaways that we've been looking at these past several weeks as we're looking at the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Number one, God wants us to be fruitful in goodness, not fruity with goodness. I'm just going to be good today and see what God will do. That's a little fruity. But see, having the fruit of goodness working in our life, there is a tangibility to what God wants to do through you. Tell the person next to you, God wants to work through you. See, God wants us to be fruitful in goodness. There's a tangibility, the benefit, the blessing of goodness. Number two, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source for long-lasting goodness. I don't want to be good today and bad tomorrow. I don't want to be evil next week and then good in 3 weeks. I want to be good all the time. I want to be filled with the fruit of goodness all the time. And the Holy Spirit is the source for long-lasting goodness. Number three, the fruit of goodness produces place for the power of the Spirit in our everyday lives. Power to experience real goodness. I want to experience real goodness in my life. I believe you do too. See, the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit that produces place for that to happen in our lives. Can we take a moment, close our eyes and bow our heads? As we come to our conclusion of this service, you may be here today. I want to ask a couple of questions. Number one, maybe you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never invited him to come in. Maybe you have, and it's been a long time, and you haven't been living for the Lord. You've been doing your own thing, and you're tired of doing your own thing because it hasn't gotten you very far. You need to come to Jesus today because he's coming to you. If you want to give your life to him and say, Pastor Tim, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to invite him in. Would you slip your hand up right now and say, that's me. I want to come to Jesus. I want to run to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask this second question. You may be here today and say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I've been praying and praying and praying, and I'm just kind of weary. You read that passage, and it's right because it's in God's word, but I'm just kind of tired. And I feel like I'm going to faint. And I really don't want to miss out what God has. But I feel like I'm just weary. If that's you today, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe fresh life into you right now. If you say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I'm just kind of tired. I want to see more of the fruit of goodness. Would you slip your hand up? The Holy Spirit wants to give you a fresh charge today. Thank you. Thank you. Church, I want to invite you. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. I just want to ask, would you pray this simple prayer with me today? Let's lift our voices. Would you say this? Just say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give my life to you. Would you take all my sin, all my past, all my successes and failures, and I receive your forgiveness. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, would you fill me today with the fruit of goodness? Where there is weariness, where I'm tired, in Jesus' name, I receive a fresh infilling of your life into my life right now, today. Make me fresh and new. Help me not grow weary, but help me be strong in the fruit of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Now, could we just begin to lift our voices and just thank him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Come to our conclusion together. It's been a good day to be in God's house. Amen. I feel like we're leaving charged and filled. It's going to be a good week. Tell the person next to you, it's going to be a good week. Now, did you say gonna or gone? It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. Well, remember, next Sunday we are gathering at the Bean Center. So we'll be over there on 35 Blueberry Lane. Also, remember, make sure you talk to Becky Mogi if you want to jump in and help us out with kids ministry. And sign up for kids camp. If you haven't signed your kids up for kids camp, can I just tell you right now, I've been to every camp imaginable. I've been to kids camp, youth camp, adult camp, family camp, teen camp, young adults camp. And my favorite, seriously, this is not even a joke, my favorite is kids camp. When JJ and I were at convention this past week, they, you know, in some of the business sessions, they're talking about, you know, the numbers and the stats for the year and what God did. And I was looking over one of the reports before we got into one of the business sessions, and it was showing the different, you know, number of kids who made a commitment to Christ at camps this summer, kids who received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, kids who were called to ministry, so on and so forth. And I'm looking over this, and from kids camp last summer, I was always glad to have the opportunity to help JJ out. She was camp director for the district that we were part of. And I looked at JJ and I said, hey, I said, look at this. I said, there were more kids called to ministry at kids camp in our district than all the other districts in Foursquare. That's awesome. Can I tell you, kids camp will change your kid's life. Yes, I'd love it if you'd say something. Because I can't tell you how many people were like, when's JJ coming home?
Okay, I am a big camp person, and one of the things I just want to share with you, you know, we see that the body of Christ, the church, that it's going through ebbs and flows, right, along the way. And it was one of the most impactful things for me was we were in the last session, and there were 4,000 pastors there this week. And they said, stand up if God called you to ministry when you were at camp. And 3/4 of that room stood to their feet. 3/4 of that room stood to their feet. 3,000 people stood to their feet saying, if it wasn't for a camp, I wouldn't be pastoring. If it wasn't for a camp, I wouldn't be a missionary. If it wasn't for a camp, I wouldn't be serving in whatever capacity, whether they're bivocational, whatever they're doing. But where they recognize God called me to serve others for life. And I look at that and I think, because there's always the struggle between, because camp is definitely not a moneymaker. And so there's always a struggle between the value of camp and not. And when you see the real numbers as people stand to their feet and say their life was changed. I was 14 years old and my life was changed. I remember exactly where I was standing the moment it happened when God called me into ministry. I will never forget that moment. I will never forget what happened. And I wonder if I had missed camp that year, how different things could be. And so there is a value to that, because it is a time of getting away. And we see that throughout the word where God, Jesus, went away by himself. So please consider sending your kids, sending your teens to camp. It is by far the greatest investment you can make in their summer activities.
Amen. Thanks, sweetheart. Well, would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing? Now, Lord, as we've gathered today, I thank you for my friends, my brothers and my sisters. Lord, as we've gathered, as we've worshiped you today, Lord, I declare a blessing over everyone who's hearing the sound of my voice and over their family. I thank you, Lord, that your word makes this declaration over us. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are blessed and not cursed. And whatever you set your hands to prospers in Jesus' name. If you receive that, would you shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful week. We love you. We'll see you next time, next Sunday at the Bean Center.